Hey, welcome to Intentional Living, where we're decluttering our lives yesterday and today. Well, we're getting started at least for 2026. What does that mean? Simplifying our lives to bring glory to God and benefit to those that we love most. Decluttering expert Barbara Hemphill makes that famous statement that clutter is nothing more than postponed decisions. And so true it is. I am Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer, and Amy's helping out today. Thank you, Amy. And we're here to encourage you and love you along the process of helping each of us to get our lives clear of the stuff that keep us from the important stuff in our life. If you want to comment today, call 888-888-1717. You know, we ended last year asking you all to share what would be one word for 2026. And I think Carolyn has picked hers for this year. Carolyn, welcome.
Okay, well, I'm kind of a crafty visualized person, so my word was simplify. Mm. And so I made a magnet in the shape of a trash can. I have a banner across the front that says simplify, and I have a non-recyclable emblem on it. So when I turn my worries and cares over to God, they are non-recyclable. I cannot take them back. I am decluttering emotionally, so I have more time for Bible study and devotions. Mm. And we do have a Bible study at our house every other Thursday night, and I made one of the trash cans for everybody to put on their refrigerator.
That's great. Now, was this a recent revelation you needed to make a change, or has this been an ongoing growth point in your life?
Kind of ongoing, but we did the Bible study about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And so it does help a lot to simplify and have more time for the things that are more important instead of spending our time on the things that don't really matter here.
Also, like you said, the emotions, you know, the things we hang on to that can hold us down or keep us back from those growth points in our life. So it's a little magnet. What is it, a little magnet? It looks like a trash can?
Yeah, it's made one. Yeah, it's made out of, I have a Cricut machine, so it's made out of cardboard. That wasn't for an advertisement, but it's made out of cardboard, and it's a gray trash can, and it has a banner across the front that says simplify, and then it has a non-recyclable emblem on the trash can, so you see it every day when you open the refrigerator, and things that you get rid of are non-recyclable. You do not take them back.
That's right. That's good. Thank you. A great way to start the show today. Let's get on to Barbara, who's over in Texas. Hey, Barbara, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Sounds like you've been on a journey on this topic.
Oh, my, yes. So, yes.
Tell us about it.
My mom growing up, and even when she passed, she was a hoarder. And growing up, it was all my dad could do to keep the house, you know, they actually ended up divorcing because she just couldn't stop. Mm. And it caused a lot of problems in finances. She was always wanting to buy stuff and buy more and buy more. And then, you know, growing up, as you grow up, you get older and you start taking people to visit mom. You couldn't walk in her house, so it was a little embarrassing to be bringing people to her house. There was no place to sit. There was no place to visit. There was no place to relax. Mm. And we would always have to, me and my brother and sister would always have to warn people and say, okay, we're going to go stop and see my mom and check on her. And, you know, just so you know, it's standing room only and, you know, all the stuff. And then when she passed, you know, before she passed away, we would joke about, you know, when she passes, we're just going to have to light a bonfire. You know, we would joke about that. But when she passed, she had so many boxes. She had three-bedroom house. She had boxes stacked around her bed where we thought if a box fell in the night, she would surely be injured. And you couldn't open the doors to the two other bedrooms because they were so full of boxes. Mm. It took us, when she passed, we spent months. It was hard to mourn her because we were so busy trying to clean the property and the house. We used three yard dumpsters, And on top of hauling stuff in the backs of our pickups and things like that to get it out, and it literally took months. It was very hard. And Dr. Randy, she kept things from when she was in high school, like clothes. She had packed in boxes that were like disintegrating. I mean, we wanted to go through things, but we just couldn't because there was just so much of it. And we just had to pick and choose which boxes we would go through because she would put important things mixed with everything else in these boxes. And you never knew what you were going to find.
How did all this affect you, Barbara, as you look back now? Obviously, Mom had some serious issues that she lost her marriage, probably your relationships to a certain extent. The fact that you continued to stay in touch, a lot of kids will just say, I'm out of here, you know, and just when it gets that bad, but you stayed connected. How's this impacted you as you look back in your own life today and all that?
So as far as I go, and also my sister is the same, we do not keep things. I mean, it actually, we probably throw away things we shouldn't throw away just because we don't want to be collecting. And I generally have a philosophy of if I haven't used it in a year, I'm getting rid of it. There's no need to keep it. I mean, growing up, it was with all the clutter, it was hard to be relaxed in the environment. But as I got older, I totally have gone the opposite way of collecting. You know, I don't want anything. I don't want things piled up. When things are piled somewhere, I get very nervous and anxious, and I have to like, okay, Lord. It's okay. We're not getting out of hand here. So it'll be all right.
So there's a little bit of that, you know, I'm not going to be my mom. So if you see something, you're saying, hey, we're going to deal with it right now.
Yeah, I absolutely. So my husband and I have recently moved and I found myself feeling like I had to unpack everything at once because it was all in boxes piled everywhere. And it made me so anxious. I thought, I had to hide things from myself so that I wouldn't feel like I had to unpack this box or that box and get the house totally done in just a day's time.
So you've been able to identify how it's affected you. So you got to work on making sure I don't overreact in the opposite direction for your own peace of mind. It sounds like, yeah. How did this, Barbara, how did this impact your feelings toward your mom, just in general, growing up and even after her passing? How did it impact your feelings and your relationship with her?
Well, it made me kind of, I guess in a way, anger, just like, why do you have to keep all this stuff? Why is this stuff so important to you? It's stuff. And I mean, we would go in and we would try to, my sister and I would try to go in once in a while and clean and try to make a path in the house. And she would get so angry that we were throwing away old butter bowls that she had kept or old Gatorade bottles or old, you know, all this broken things she wouldn't ever throw away, whether it was broke or not. And we would be like, Mom, when are you going to use this? This is junk. Why? And she just wouldn't let us throw it away. And it was just so frustrating. It just kept us away from her. We didn't want to, we would go and see her, like, because I want to honor my mother, right? I honor your mother and father. And I want to make sure that I am being the daughter I need to be for her. But it kind of kept me away more than it would have if there weren't so many things all around her where you could walk in and sit in her house and actually enjoy being with her and not all her junk.
Yeah. Well, yours obviously is an extreme, but, you know, maybe not as much as we would think. Many of you listening probably have either in your own life, someone close to you, maybe even your own home or family member, who may not be at the extreme that Barb's mom was, but it's far enough that you know it's a problem. And we know that when we have too much stuff in our life, it affects us in terms of our relationships. You can't be at that level of hoarding in your life and not have it affect your relationship with God. You know, the Bible's very clear on that. So we all wrestle with something psychologically and relationally and what have you. But if this is something in your life as it is in my own, we have to simplify. Maybe 2026 would be the year of saying, I'm going to simplify, get back to the basics to be able to focus on the things that bring pleasure to God and benefit to my family and those that I love. Barbara, you've been very transparent. Thank you for taking time to share that. I think you've probably helped someone today. Kim, you're up next. I'll be with you in just a minute or two.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I was just listening, and a guy named Tom called in, and he's a new Christian, and he said so many things that I feel. I've been a Christian since I was a child, but it's been very different in the last little while, and it's so different. I'm so different. And it's so hard, but it's so good. And I'm just really grateful that we've got this radio station making. And I'm trying very hard to live an intentional life. And I just thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
You're very welcome. And we can do this because we have so many wonderful friends who support what we do. You know, the average person, the average gift comes in, it's about like a dollar a day, $30 every month, four quarters a day type of thing. And when you get a lot of people doing that, it makes a difference. We ended 2025 a little bit behind, about 30,000 behind where we needed to be to close out the year. And so I throw that out for someone who might say, hey, I want to be a part of making that catch up to help us here in 2026 or come and join us monthly in support. You can do that by calling during business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. I was thinking as I was hearing Barbara's story about is it possible that Satan lives in clutter? I mean, he certainly must enjoy watching us when we get sidetracked with things in our life, stuff and you know, it can be clutter emotionally, clutter relationally. Come on, it's not just stuff. I know we think of that first, but the ramifications can go into every area of our life. I think Satan must relish seeing us getting cluttered. That's why when the Bible says there's great contentment, you know, great gain when we are content, simplifying our lives. And of course, we in our culture here in America and in Western world, we have more stuff than we know what to do with. Not everybody does in the world. And having an opportunity to travel some around the world and see some folks, we always come home and say, well, we're blessed to be here, but we're also blessed to have a garage and a storage unit and trunks that get bigger in the car so we can... How many of us have our trunks filled with stuff? Come on. And so how that's affecting our life is what we're focusing on here today to be intentional. Kim, welcome to the show today from Michigan. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Tell me your story, your journey with clutter.
Well, I wouldn't say we had a ton of clutter, but my husband passed away almost 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away, he had a lot of stuff. And I mean, a lot of stuff. So I had to go through all of his stuff and he was a hunter, and he exceeded buying stuff more than what he needed. He just kept buying. So he had a lot of new stuff that he had never used even. Mm-hmm. So I went through all of his stuff, and I had my kids and grandkids go through his stuff also, and I gave away a lot of stuff. I sold a few things, but most of it I gave away. But what I learned is when I have items that I think are special to me, are my kids going to want this after I die?
Yeah.
Or are they going to have to go through my stuff and, oh, why did she keep that? You know, I want to keep what is going to be valuable to my children after I leave, that they're going to want as their keepsakes or, you know, to use in everyday life.
Yeah. That's made a difference. Have you decluttered a lot then? Have they put their names on stuff? How do you feel you're doing right now?
No, they took a lot of my late husband's stuff, but I'm very open with them, with what I have, and, you know, and I also have not only a will, but
a trust?
A trust.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have everything in order, so when I pass away, yeah, they can go through everything in my house, but they're not going to have a lot of boxes of stuff, of things that, why did she keep this? You know, a couple months ago, I went through all of my pictures, which I had like a couple totes of pictures, and I divided them by kids. You know, this mm-hmm. is you when you were younger. I divided them by families, my sister's family, my in-laws. And I just gave pictures away, and everyone loved looking at these pictures. Oh, I remember that. I remember that. People don't even keep pictures anymore.
Yeah.
But I know when I gave these pictures away, they were all happy to get them. And that's that much less that my kids have to go through after I pass.
Yeah, and today was you know, like my camera on my phone. I take pictures of kids. I go, but you know, I got years of stuff. I got hundreds and hundreds of photos. What do you do with this stuff? I mean, the pictures you get developed, you have in boxes from the past, but I wonder how many people even get this stuff developed now. That's probably a whole discussion in and of itself, just the digital clutter that we have and how do we deal with that?
Yeah, and I think a lot of pictures on our phones, people wait to get developed until there's a funeral. And, I have pictures of them on my phone. I need to get this developed to put up at their funeral.
Oh, ouch. Isn't that true? Come on. We go and we watch the 60 photographs of a person's life up on a screen that probably came off someone's phone. All right. We're not trying to be depressing here today, but here's a reality. We're all going to face that in our lives, and this thing about decluttering isn't just to wait until that stage. It's just to keep our lives. It's kind of like what does the Bible say? That we're running a race and we should strip down so we can be competitors in the race. That's what the Bible says, throwing off those things which keep us from competing and winning in the race. Now, Amy's sitting over here and she's our marathoner. And even as we speak, ready to finish her 50th state race in Hawaii. Now, she didn't end in Mississippi. She's going to end in Hawaii. So she's a smart lady. But anyway, she spent like 22 years working on this. And we'll get her on the air after this is all wrapped up. We got to make sure she finishes all 50, though, first, and then she'll be here. But that's really a picture, and you got to throw away the things, strip down so you can be focused on whatever's set before you. Paul said that in Philippians, where he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal. That clarity of going after what God's intention is for my life. All right. This has been very interesting. Let's go to Elizabeth, I think is going to be next. Let me see. In Arizona. So what's going on with you in clutter?
So I don't know if my stuff really counts as physical clutter as much as mental clutter. My husband and I are at kind of a challenging part of our lives, more me than him. I'm 23. My husband and I have been married for a couple years. We have a great marriage. I'm married to a wonderful man. But a lot of my clutter, it's not necessarily affecting us, but I'm worried that it's going to start affecting us. I work full-time, well, more than full-time. I probably work 50 hours a week. And then I'm also waiting on my law school applications and finishing submitting law school applications and then taking care of a family and taking care of myself and managing friendships. And so it's a lot of emotional clutter. And it's not causing a strain, but it's definitely leading to less intimacy, less personal time, and less energy to expend with each other.
Which is a personal strain. It's a marital strain.
Right.
Enough that you call, you're concerned about it. And your husband's concerned about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think you're doing too much?
I think it's too much, but I don't know what to cut out. Because being 23, you know, I'm doing everything I can to prepare for my future and to do everything I can with my family to set us up to be grounded. And so knowing what I can cut out is really difficult in terms of managing a lot of those things.
Do you guys feel like you're out of balance?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of intimacy and passion, I feel like my mind is so cluttered that it's hard to connect in terms of like paying attention and giving him my focus and energy and attention.
Now, we teach at Intentional Living about getting mad enough, right? We say get mad enough to change, get mad enough to honor Christ, get mad enough to say, I don't want to be this way anymore. And one of the problems that people have when they're emotionally weak is that they don't follow that little formula that we use, MAD, mindset of Christ, right? Because our emotions are driven by our mindset, what we tell ourselves. That's why the scripture tells us whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy to think on such things. For the letter A, they don't have an attitude of confidence in Christ, because many people who are emotionally weak are not confident in who they are in Christ. They don't know who they are. So there's a sense of responding out of this emotionality. And then for the letter D, making the right decisions for life and establishing the right habits.
All right. That's an excerpt from the lesson. How do you love someone who I just boldly say is emotionally weak? I mean, they're great people and you love them, but emotionally you feel like you're walking on eggshells. How do you deal with that? It could be someone really close, maybe even right there in your own home. It's the featured lesson this month on our member site up at theintentionallife.com. And a reminder to members, there's a little passcode to get into that part of the site that should have been sent to you when you joined or at some point along the way. And you might be thinking, well, I'm a member. I'm supporting the ministry and I don't have the code. Where's the code, Randy? What's the code? Well, I don't know myself right off the top of my head, but I will tell you this. If you let us know, if you send an email or you call the office and just ask for it, we'll get it to you. Or for those of you joining us today, if you come and be a part of the regular membership team of Intentional Living, will make sure that you get that. But the really important thing is you're helping us share Christ with people and people coming to the Lord, and we can live our lives intentionally in Him together. Boy, that's a valuable investment, very important investment. Join us at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717 during business hours. Press number 2 to talk to our team upstairs, or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Just wanting to know, speaking about clutter, how do you get to the point that your house and everything you have is so cluttered because of not having enough time at home to declutter, and you don't see an end in sight with working and working in the church? Different things like that, it seems it's very easy for things to get cluttered. And then trying to find that time to declutter seems like almost impossible.
Yeah.
Just want to know your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Eliminate. Whatever it is that's keeping you from what's most important. Things that are important, things that are urgent, and many times the urgent things take precedence. April, I think we have time for your call. Looks like you got some sentimental issues that you're really wrestling with. Appreciate your call. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Talking about clutter. Why'd you call? What's going on?
Well, it was funny because I listen to you guys most mornings, and you know, I have when you said Albert Einstein, it literally caught my attention even more. I started looking around my room. And it definitely looks like an Albert Einstein kind of moment. So definitely physical clutter has always been something I've dealt with over the years. I was a preschool teacher for most, and so dealing with kids and having stuff everywhere was always something around. And recently, my grandmother passed, and I started looking around at certain things that I didn't want to touch because it was something that she had touched last, right?
Yes.
And so my power went out the other day, and I had to throw away her empanadas that she had made that I had froze. So it was kind of something I had to throw away.
Yeah, how'd that feel?
It hurt.
What did it feel
really
like?
Bad.
I mean, what was it feeling like when you did that?
Felt like I threw my grandma away.
Yeah, that's exactly how you're feeling. I get it. When my mother passed away, there's only one thing of all the stuff she, and they were collectors, there's really only one thing that I really got, and that was her Bible. And in her Bible, April, were notes and things that she'd written and a lot of personal things. And I found it very difficult to even take one of the pieces of paper out of her Bible and move it to another section, because somehow or other I'd be changing that last touch with my mother.
Yes. And so I had to move in very fast just because of a lot of issues with her medical and stuff like that. I have a young boy as well. She was our rock and, you know, backbone sure. to everything, yeah. really. You know, everything was better at grandma's house, you know? And yeah. so I was telling my family this is going to be our first Thanksgiving and Christmas without her. And I'm the only one that knows how to make her red chili or her tamales. And so it's kind of going to be like a time capsule. But one other story was me cleaning. And that's, I guess, where the hoarding does start and begin because of depression. Me and my son, you know, we both have these chores and we couldn't eat red chili for the longest time. I couldn't wash the dishes for a very long time.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like a weird moment. And finally, the other day, I got on my hands and knees, and she used to, my grandma always made me try new things on the grout in the kitchen. And I don't know, she, the steam cleaner, the, you know, the different kind of mops and all this stuff, right? And I was crying and I'm sitting there and I'm scrubbing away. And I had thought, you know, that was the last place she had stepped, even though it was like her, you know, the dirty bottom of yeah. your feet, or, you know, wiping away her footsteps, or, you know, forgetting her.
Mm. You won't forget her, but I get it. You know, there's something about the physical contact, the touch, the pictures, the memories. Maybe it's time to put that memory book together and keep the things that are important. There are things that are important. Obviously, I think there's things we want to make available and pass on, but we don't have to pass on 90 things, maybe just a few. I don't know. Got me thinking too today about simplifying my life here in 2026. Maybe I'll change my word to that for this year, because I think it's important. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer. Thank you, Amy, for helping out, praying for Stephen to get back on his feet. We'll be back on Monday talking about decision-making. Maybe this is the decision you need to make. We'll show you how to do it. Come and join us next time on Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.